Praise the Lord, this is Sign Alamo reading a piece of literature entitled Dry Bones by Pastor Tony Alamo, my dad. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel was sent a vision from God. He saw a valley of dry bones representing the spiritual deadness of Israel and the world. The vision foretold the first coming of Christ, his preaching of the gospel, and the result, the first resurrection from death unto life eternal for all those who believe the word of the Lord. God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can those spiritual dead ones live?" Ezekiel said, "Lord, thou who hast made them dost know." God spoke again to the prophet, saying, "Prophesy concerning these dead bones, and say to them, O bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." Israel knew it was completely gone as a nation. To this day they are hopelessly divided. But God told Ezekiel that he would raise up another nation greater than the first Israel, which would not stop sinning. The second Israel would be a people from every nation in the world, a remnant of elect Jews and a multitude of Gentiles grafted into the true vine. It would be a great holy nation of those raised from the dead life of sin unto life eternal. They would never be divided against God. This was the first resurrection through the resurrection power of Christ. In 1964, before my first resurrection through Christ, I, Tony Alamo, was well known for sinning and ungodliness, and was totally void of any knowledge of God. I had no idea that God existed. The words of God were to me fables and myths. I couldn't understand how people could believe in God or His Son. I couldn't believe the ones who said they believed in God, because they were hypocrites. They sinned as much or more than me. I know this because I used to run around with them. We were all a bunch of dead, dry bones. I would become angry if anyone tried to convert me to Christianity, because to me the Bible was a waste of time. The life I lived gave me no time for games or fairy tales. In the marketing industry, I was considered number one. I was responsible for the successful careers of many world-famous singers and actors, as well as the successful promotions of several well-known household products. My worst nightmare then was one that had me converted and distributing gospel leaflets about Jesus on street corners, living at some Skid Row mission, preaching the gospel, and organizing food lines to feed hungry people. In the mid-60s, the world wasn't looking so good to me. I didn't like drugs or dirty people with the morals of swine. And I hated what the hippie movement was doing to Hollywood, the Sunset Strip, and the world. As for myself, I was no saint. I didn't really care what people did as far as sinning, as long as they didn't flaunt it in front of families with children. To me, the world was finished, dead, dry, obnoxious and bleak. Nothing really had any value anymore. I believe the other people of the world knew it as well as I did, and took drugs to try to escape the reality of it. The churches were hypocritical. Everyone seemed to know that as well. The whole world was dead in its sins and trespasses. The world was an enormous valley of dry bones, just like the ones Ezekiel saw. I met Jesus in a Beverly Hills office in a very supernatural way. No one can possibly imagine how terrified and yet how happy I was when God proved to me that He and His Son really did exist. I was thrilled to experience His awesome Holy Spirit and hear His powerful voice sweep through every part of my body as though I were a filter that the words went through both forward and backward. His presence was glorious and warming. His Spirit pressed heavily upon me like the mighty grip of the hand of God, and his words told me to stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. When his spirit came into the office and pressed down upon me, I was given the awareness of his unspeakable, incredible intelligence. He was every atom and molecule. He was the air. He knew everything from the past and everything that would happen in the future. I was embarrassed because I knew he knew everything I had ever done. Then he showed me that heaven and hell definitely exist. I knew which one I would be going to if I didn't do what he said. And it wasn't heaven. Although it was terrifying to me, it was also wonderful to know that God was real and alive, and everything the prophets and apostles said he was. He hasn't changed at all from the days that he created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them. I knew immediately that I would always fear, admire, respect, and love and serve him. I knew I would be more than willing to live, be persecuted, and die for him, and do it cheerfully with all joy. After God released me from that office, I started asking him, "What do you want me to do? I'll do anything you say." I got no answer, so I figured he wanted me to go to church. I figured the biggest was the best, so I went there, and I didn't find him. Then I went to other churches, but he wasn't there either. Then I read books with pictures on the covers of guys that looked wise and godly, with long beards and religious clothing, but I knew the books were wrong because they said that God was not to be feared, that God doesn't threaten people, and that you could sin without going to hell. I wasn't worried about a God like that. I was worried about finding the God that threatened me, the God that showed me heaven and hell, making me do something no one else could make me do, something I never wanted to do. I never thought the truth could be found in the Bible, because there were so many of them around. I felt that anything the general public went for couldn't be smart, since I believed all people were stupid. I finally started reading the Bible and found the plan of salvation in it, and the instructions for eternal life, which told how to grow up in Christ and spiritually become a major soul winner for him. When I first started reading the Bible, I felt that same power of God pressing down upon me that I felt in that Beverly Hills office. Then God showed me other visions of heaven and hell. I cried out to God, "Lord, don't send me to hell." Then I saw heaven and felt the peace of heaven. Although I was spiritually blind, naked, and small, I told God I'd be willing to remain blind, naked, and insignificant if I could just feel his heavenly peace forever. I saw hell once more and cried out again to God for mercy and pardon. Then the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit entered my mortal body. By my faith in Jesus and the blood he gave for me, and by my faith in the words of God which I heard and obeyed, I felt every sin I'd ever committed lift off of my soul. I felt clean and pure. Something very wonderful had happened to me, and it was done to and for me by Christ Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. I was so happy to be free from sin and to possess this new power which kept me from sinning that I wanted to tell the whole world so they could also know him and have eternal life. Even after more than 31 years in the ministry for Christ, I feel the spiritual marrow being poured down from heaven into these once very dry bones every time I read the Bible. God's word has put spiritual sinew around these once dry bones, covering them with the flesh and skin of spiritual armor. Each word of God has grafted Christ more into my heart. I can still feel each word of God breathing Holy Spirit breath into my soul, giving me the power to stand and quench all the fiery darts Satan has fired at me through the years. I know more fully each day that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we are complete in him. And I also know how very important it is to follow every word of Jesus, who said, moments before his ascension into heaven in a cloud, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach to every dry bone, those who are spiritually dead, so they may hear the word of the Lord. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." If you're like me and would rather not be damned, but instead be saved, then say this prayer to God. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he sits on the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. I open up the door of my heart and invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will forgive my sins and save my soul. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command and sin no more. Now that you are saved and forgiven of your sins, raise your hands and praise the Lord. Christ now lives in you through the Holy Spirit, and there is a way you can receive a fuller portion of the divine nature of God in you. God the Father lives now in you also. The more of the divine nature of God that lives in you, the more you will be able to stand against the temptations that so easily have moved so many millions of Christians away from salvation. This is caused by more man in us than God in us. Mankind has become so wicked that if Satan and his impish army were abolished, we would be our own devil. Now that you are saved, pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Prayfully study the Word and pray always for more of the divine nature. For instructions on how to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and to receive more of God's holy nature, ask for our literature or call. For without holiness no man shall see God. Hebrews 12:14. Now that you are saved, it is a commandment to be fully submerged, baptized in water in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Follow all of God's commandments and live. We have a variety of our literature available in many languages. Read all about the church and hear the church's music on our website at www.alamoministries.com. The Alamo Christian Church provides room and board to all those who truly want to serve the Lord. Bibles are available for those who cannot afford them. Request other literature written by Pastor Alamo.